Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I found myself in a situation that's become pretty common in my life. I found myself at a dinner table with five mathematicians. Many of you already know that my husband Paul has been working on his doctorate in math for a few years now across the street. And this has brought many other people like him into my life. Through Paul, I've met many men and women who are very, very talented at doing something that most people hate. They're high-achieving people who've excelled in academia. At my dinner table that night were five people who were researching and writing about mathematical topics that few people around the entire globe would understand. But at that dinner with those talented people, the subject that came up was this. Someone brought up the idea of imposter syndrome. You might already know what that is, but I didn't know that night. Imposter syndrome is a vaguely psychological term coined to describe this phenomenon. Many people who are highly accomplished experience an inability to recognize their own achievements as their own. Instead, they view themselves as imposters, people who've somehow tricked others into believing that they're better than they are. It's the experience of going through life thinking that you've somehow tricked others into thinking that you are smarter or more accomplished than you are, when actually you view your own achievements as the result of luck or hubris or guile. Gifted and accomplished people often work very, very hard to show others only their talents and their abilities. And in fact, most of us learn this trait early and often in our childhoods. In school and when we're young, lots of emphasis is put on getting the right answer or being able to do something competently. And as a result, as we grow older, most of us are loath to admit when we're wrong, when we don't know something, when we've messed something up. Sometimes it seems that the more educated or the higher achieving we are, the more this is the case. And because of that, in our society, we've come to a very narrow and one-dimensional definition of what success looks like. To be successful is to be strong, to be powerful, and to always be right. I know from my own life and from Paul's experiences on his rigorous academic journey, how easy it is to look at other people and think that they are more competent, stronger, more put together than we are. But at that dinner a while back with the mathematicians, something amazing happened. One person brought up this idea of imposter syndrome. And slowly, as the meal went on, all six of us admitted to the ways in which we often find ourselves feeling like we have to put up a front, look more competent than we are, in order to be as good as those around us. At the end of the dinner, all of us felt a little bit better. We felt a little better because we had shared a burden with one another. We felt a little bit better because by sharing that burden, we were more equipped to face it. In short, we had been empowered by making ourselves vulnerable to one another. In today's gospel from Luke 13, we are reminded of how courageous and powerful Jesus is. But the kind of courage and power that Jesus exhibits in today's gospel is a vulnerable courage and power. At the beginning of the gospel, the Pharisees come to Jesus and they tell him that Herod is plotting to kill him. And Jesus replies not with fear or by turning and running away, but rather by reminding the Pharisees and the disciples what he has come up to do. to heal, to cast out demons, to proclaim the kingdom of God. And in today's gospel, Jesus turns toward Jerusalem, toward his death, by going to the very place that kills the prophets. And in doing this, he exhibits deep courage. But the courage that Jesus exhibits is not having no fear. It's not the momentary bravery of running into a burning building to rescue someone or jumping in an icy cold river to save someone from drowning. It's another kind of courage entirely. A courage to keep on going in spite of difficulty and fear. The courage that Jesus shows is the courage to be vulnerable. Instead of turning away from his difficulty and death, he chooses to turn toward Jerusalem, where both lie ahead of him. And in explaining this choice to his disciples, Jesus laments. He laments not for himself and his own impending death, but for his people. Using this beautiful metaphor, Jesus says this: "How I have desired to gather together your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing." I have always absolutely loved this image of Jesus. Jesus as the God who cradles us under a mother hen's wing. Maybe it's because my mom sang "Children of the Heavenly Father" to me a lot when I was a little girl. But I've always thought of this as a gentle and beautiful metaphor. But this week, I realized that this metaphor means something different to me as well. A mother hen does not, most of the time, cradle her chicks under her wing. Usually, she lets the chicks go around doing what chicks normally do: walking, pecking, eating things. But it's when the mother hen senses danger that she brings the brood under her wing in order to keep them safe. Perhaps the reason that the people of Jerusalem, and why we as God's people are sometimes unwilling to be gathered under Jesus' wing, is this: in order to do so, we must admit the grave danger into which Jesus treads on our behalf. And admitting this is not always easy. Too often we whitewash the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, ignoring the painful and gritty parts in order to focus on the beauty of the story. And when we think of God's protection, we ask for God to take away all of the pain and the suffering from our lives and the world around us. And this is something that people have called on God to do for generation upon generation. Just take a look with me at today's psalm, Psalm 27, a beautiful psalm of trust and protection in which God's protection is a safe and a mighty place, like a mother hen's wing. And in it, we see the psalmist ask simply to stay in the house of the Lord forever, to be hidden from his enemies in the shelter and concealed beneath the tent. But depending on how these words take root in our heart, it can be that we ask God to protect us from suffering, to keep us away from the difficulty and the darkness of the world, to give us a place of invulnerability, a place where the world cannot touch us. And although this is a natural human desire, it's not the path on which we find Jesus. After all, God's way is not protected. Jesus is walking straight toward Jerusalem because his courage and strength comes in his own suffering and death in that place. It was through becoming vulnerable that Jesus achieved his work. If we think about it, the gospel, the good news in all its substance, is not about our strength. It's about God's willingness to enter into our human weakness. In the two events most fundamental to us as Christians, Jesus is the most vulnerable. When we see him in the manger, utterly powerless, as a tiny infant at the incarnation, we see the vulnerability of God. And when, especially in this Lenten season, we see Jesus set his face on Jerusalem and enter willingly into his death on the cross, it is there too that we see God's vulnerability. And when we come here each week to remember and honor our Lord, what do we do together? We remember his weakness, his body broken, his blood shed for us. And this vulnerable place is where we see God's strength. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul recounts these words from Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. In my mind, I hear the verse this way. My power is made perfect in your weakness. But actually, it's in God's own weakness that Christ's power is made perfect. And the weakness of Christ empowers each of us to also become vulnerable. In today's lesson from the Philippians, the part we hear begins in the middle of a longer argument that the Apostle Paul makes. Just before today's text, he says this, if I will boast in anything, I will boast in my own weakness in Christ. So when we join in imitating Paul, it is joining in boasting in our own weaknesses, entering with him into Jesus, who transforms humiliation into glory. When we face weaknesses, when we make ourselves vulnerable, it is in those places that we meet Jesus. We meet him by sharing in his suffering and difficulty. But perhaps even more than that, we also meet him in the other people with whom we share. By the end of today's psalm, these words are written. I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but we won't see it in a perfected or whitewashed world. We see it in the midst of an imperfect and hurting world. We see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living when we meet Christ in others, when we share our vulnerability. Because like those mathematicians at the dinner table a few weeks ago, all of us long to share our burdens with one another. And sharing those burdens helps us to accept them together. And accepting them together empowers us. It gives our hearts the courage to wait for the Lord by doing just what Jesus did in his life on earth. We wait for the Lord by turning our faces not away from the mess of humankind, but toward the mess, and walking forward with vulnerable courage. This morning after worship, we're having a special event, and I was asked by Pastor Brad and Sue Lynn to work it into my sermon. And as I tried to, it seemed kind of hard to shoehorn it in there. But as you know, we're having a brunch to celebrate the partnership in ministry between Luther Memorial and Lutheran Campus Ministry. And the way that I think that I can work it in is this. We know that as Christians, that something amazing happens around a table. Whether it's a table of friends who speak of their weaknesses, or a table hosted by God, in which we see the power of vulnerability. A table is a good place to begin to know one another and to be honest with one another. So after worship this morning, please come downstairs to celebrate. and also to get to know someone else, that we might witness God in one another for the sake of the world. May God give each and every one of us the courage to be vulnerable this week. And may God also meet us in this vulnerability with Christ's own courage and power. May God bless us in this journey. Amen.